The Chris Perillo Show's coverage of Northern Voice is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
One of the first speakers at the Northern Voice Conference was Tim Bray, and Tim is probably best known, well, at least in my circles, as, I guess, could I say the father of XML?
Co-inventor is fair.
Okay, co-inventor is fair. Fair enough. My question is... Well, of XML, yes, of course. Yeah, I wasn't going to say RSS, but my question is related to that. When XML was kind of coming together, did you ever imagine something like RSS and the whole phenomenon that sprang out of that ever to happen?
No, not at all. I mean, we the people who invented XML were by and large a bunch of publishing geeks. And we thought we were inventing, you know, the next generation of document formats, more or less what OpenOffice and Microsoft are doing. But I got to say, you know, the people started doing the syndication ideas within about 15 minutes, you know. So it was obvious, it was clearly an obvious idea, one that we weren't smart enough to see coming.
You weren't smart enough to see coming. Why do you say that?
Well, that's sort of the definition of being smart, when you see something that's obvious but other people didn't see, you know, and it was obvious but we didn't see it. So somebody who, you know, people who were smart saw it.
Now, is it something that has really changed the way people have started working? And when I say something, XML.
XML has clearly changed the life of software developers because, you know, everything up to and including toothpaste now has an XML component. And it's sort of become the default way of interchanging more or less any information between an application and another application. So, yeah, in the software development world, clearly XML's had a huge impact. It's starting now via RSS and, you know, this whole confluence of things to have an impact in the world of just human discourse in general and publishing in particular.
How do you feel, and I don't know if you have any feelings on this one way or another, but when you see people calling it an XML feed rather than an RSS feed, some people confuse RSS with XML.
It is a problem because, and in particular, I hate the little orange XML button, you know, that you see all over the place. Right, because, you know, if somebody gives you a chunk of data and tells you that's XML, they really haven't told you anything that's very useful. Well, you know what program you can use to read it, but you don't know what it means, you know, what it is. And so I think it's actually harmful to talk about XML feeds. We should say what it is, RSS.
Now, as far as XML is concerned, is it done, or are there things that are in its future?
Well, the XML base level specification is probably pretty well frozen ad infinitum. There was an XML 1.1, but it has not been widely adopted or had much attention paid to it. I'd be astounded if there were ever an XML 2.0. Having said that, there is this huge, immense, staggering stack of, you know, various kinds of ideas layered on top of XML, ranging from, you know, basic machinery like style sheets and schemas to the bloated web services stack monstrosity to formats for graphics and 3D and finance and funeral directors and everything else you can possibly imagine. And I would assume that those would go on being invented more or less forever.
Any current projects that you're working on?
Well, I'm co-chair of the IETF Atom Working Group, and that's just, we've got a good group there, and it's fun. And I think that, you know, RSS has been in the field now since, what, 96 or something like that, right? So quite a number of years, and, you know, standards groups can never invent anything, and it's not useful when standards groups try. But when you have something that's been out in the field for a few years, and there's, you know, a body of best practice and conventional wisdom that's involved, it's very useful for a standards group to assemble that, put an official stamp on the side, and give it to the world. So if you look at the Atom data format, it's essentially just all the lessons we've learned in the years of RSS, only with, you know, some of the icky corners ground off, and an official specification that's got, like, a change control process and a stamp on the side. So that's useful. And then there's the Atom Publishing Protocol, which is an attempt to do a bit more, you know, modern, restful take on the Meta Weblog API, which I think will actually turn out to be useful for tons and tons of different applications. So the Atom work is fun and very rewarding.
It seems to be the new war, or one of the newer wars, Atom versus RSS. Do you really think there's something to be compared?
Oh, well, they're clearly, you know, in the same space, but I don't see a war between them at all. I mean, RSS works perfectly well for, you know, the kind of news-oriented and you know, personal expression-oriented applications is being used for, and obviously it's a huge success. The reason, you know, the place where Atom, I suspect, will find its initial niche is where you have more application-oriented feeds. Like, everybody's talking about getting a feed from your stock market portfolio, from your bank account, from things like that. And I would think for those kinds of things, Atom, which has got, you know, much tighter specification and all sorts of rules for error handling and how to extend it and so on, will probably be, you know, really attractive. And then there's also a lot of people talking about deploying, you know, corporate blogging and corporate feeds of one kind or another. And a lot of organizations really want to have an official stamp on the side of some form, so I think Atom will come into play there. But I wouldn't expect RSS to go away, you know, anytime soon. Now, having said that, I suspect that, assuming we don't really screw it up, the Atom publishing protocol will probably come to displace, for example, MetaWeblog fairly quickly, because MetaWeblog is kind of a crock, you know, it's painful to use, and I think Atom will have some substantial advantages over it. But in terms of a war, I just don't see it.
But how far in the future do you think that's going to happen in terms of Atom taking hold, let's say replacing MetaWeblog API, or really appealing to corporations who need that stamp on the side to feel good about it?
Single-digit number of years.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, Tim, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you for co-founding XML.
The Chris Perillo Show's coverage of Northern Voice is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.